It's always a wonderful experience writing sermons and presenting them. I find that the Spirit speaks to me as I read the Scripture. Knowledge is given, and I don't understand why. However, last night, I worked probably 8 hours on the sermon, and this morning I got up and Yahweh said, not good enough. So the sermon I'm giving today is not the one that I wrote yesterday. I think it's the one that he wrote. And I'm not trying to boast in that. I just know that the Father disciplines those that he loves. And when we do things that are not according to his liking, he tells us what to do. So I praise Yahweh for his discipline and for his correction. What we've been studying recently is the book of Matthew, which I fondly refer to as the Messianic Age, based on some of the meaning of the meaning of the word genealogy and also the Messiah. Much in the tradition of naming books according to the first words that are written. We've been focusing on the messages contained in the book of Matthew, having covered the concepts of the Messianic Age, the institution of kingship of the Messiah and the Melchizedek priesthood, the identity of the wise men, and exactly who is Israel. And from here, the book of Matthew tells the story of Yahshua's life, the flight into Egypt. In chapters 2, verse 13, it says, "For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." In verse 18 in Matthew 2, we have the story of the massacre of the innocents. Quote, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel, weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more." And verse 20, Yahshua's return to Israel and, quote, "a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets," quote, "he shall be called a Nazarene." And the word Nazarene comes from the Hebrew word natsar, or netzer, which means branch. And speaking of branch, if you would turn to the book of Isaiah, let's take a look at what branch really means. Isaiah 11, beginning at verse 1, where it says, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch." And that word branch there is the Hebrew word netzer, which means a green shoot that comes from the parent plant. Shall grow out of his roots, out of the roots of Jesse, who, if you recall, is the father of King David. Verse 2, "The Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Yahweh," the respect of Yahweh. Verse 3, "His delight is in the fear of Yahweh, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist." Verse 6, "The wolf shall dwell with the lamb." Now, just pointing something out, typically people talk about how the lion will lay down with the lamb. Well, no, it's not the lion that's going to lay down with the lamb. It's the wolf that's going to lay down with the lamb. "The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Yahweh as the waters cover the sea. Verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse. And what day is that? Well, I surmise that it will be after Yahshua comes and restores the kingdom to Yahweh, restores Israel. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse who shall stand as a banner to the people. That word people there is the word goyim, the nations. In the King James, it's the word heathen. He shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him. And his resting place shall be glorious. It shall come to pass in that day that Yahweh will set his hand again, the second time, to recover the remnant of his people who are left. Now, his people would be whom? Who is the treasure, the precious one of Yahweh? It's always been, always will be, Israel. It shall come to pass that day that Yahweh shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left, who are remaining, from Assyria and Egypt, from the north and the south, from Pathros and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, and from Hamat and the islands of the sea. Verse 12, he will set up a banner, an ensign, a beacon for the nations. The nations here is the word Hagoyim. And will assemble the outcasts of Israel. Now, who are the outcasts of Israel? Well, none other than the 10 tribes of the house of Israel routed out of the land by Assyria. And gather together the dispersed of Judah. Okay? And those who are routed by Assyria are the house of Israel. And referring here to the dispersed of Judah is the tribe of Judah and Benjamin, the house of Judah, which was captured by Babylon. From the four corners of the earth, in other words, from everywhere on the earth. Verse 13, also the envy of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not harass Ephraim. What is that speaking of? Well, speaking of the war that has existed between the house of Israel and the house of Judah for many years. We're going to talk a little bit more about that today. But I want to talk a little bit about the word envy. Envy is basically a fear. Fear of what? Well, it's fear of not having what someone else has. Okay? What did Judah have that Israel didn't have? Well, basically, they had the word of Yahweh, because the house of Israel left Judah, and the king created new feasts on different days, set up idols and worshiped idols. So they didn't have the blessing of Yahweh. So whether they were consciously aware of their envy or whether that was just something within them that they knew, this envy is the fear of not having what someone else has. And we also know that when people are afraid, the next thing they're going to feel is anger. And this is, without doubt, at least in my mind, why the house of Israel and the house of Judah had battles with one another. And so when we read about Ephraim shall not envy Judah and Judah shall not harass Ephraim, what is this speaking of? This speaking basically of the coming together, as it's spoken of colloquially, the Jews and the Gentiles. Or if I might change that a bit, because that's an oft-used idiom. It's about the Jews and the Christians, because the Jews have the law and the Christians have the Messiah. It's the Messiah of Israel that the Christians have, but they don't know it yet. And neither do those of Judaism. They don't know that the Messiah is the one who was sent to them. But someday they will. Verse 14, but they shall fly down upon the shoulder of the Philistines toward the west. Together they shall plunder the people of the east. They shall lay their hand on Edom and Moab, and the people of Ammon shall obey them. Yahweh will utterly destroy the tongue of the sea of Egypt with his mighty wind. Now that word wind there is the word ruach, spirit. With his mighty spirit, he will shake his fist over the river and strike it in the seven streams and make men cross over dry shod. In other words, the stream will dry up and they'll be able to walk across the river. Verse 16, there will be a highway, therefore, for the remnant of his people. Okay, and that would be Israel. Who will be left, who will remain from Assyria, as it was for Israel in the day that he came up from the land of Egypt. He referring to Israel. So this is another exodus that is being spoken of here. Not the exodus out of Egypt, but the exodus out of the four corners of the world will return to the land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Isn't it great that just knowing that one word, branch, has great significance and leads us to a prophetic understanding of the book of Matthew? We can just take one word and look for that in the Old Testament, in the Tanakh, and gather a tremendous amount of knowledge. In Matthew chapter 3, we find details of the ministry of John the Baptizer. John the Immerser, who cried out, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of Yahweh is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of Yahweh, make his paths straight." So John, Yochanan, chastised and warned the Pharisees and Sadducees, calling them a brood of vipers, and commanding them to, quote, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And repentance literally means to return. Return to whence you came. Go back to the ancient ways. That's what repent means. It doesn't mean just stop doing what you're doing and do something else. It means go back to the original word given to us by Yahweh. Verse 13 in Matthew 3, I think we're in, speaks of John baptizing Yahshua after he explained to John, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Verse 16 and 17 describes Yahshua coming up immediately from the water, and, quote, "And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of Yahweh descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Thus, Yahshua was anointed by Yahweh to begin his ministry, to restore Israel to the Father. Matthew chapter 4 describes the 40 days and nights that Yahshua was, quote, led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Yahshua responds to three temptations proposed by Satan using the words of Yahweh, given to Moses and recorded in the book of Deuteronomy. And I find it very interesting to know that it wasn't just the Old Testament that Yahshua was quoting. It was the words given to Moses by Yahweh. The first temptation, quote, "If you are the Son of Yahweh, command that these stones become bread." Yahshua answered from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, stating, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Yahweh," referring to the manna Yahweh provided to sustain Israel in the wilderness. And the second temptation, Satan said, "If you are the son of Yahweh, throw yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. And it's also written, in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone." Yahshua answered from Deuteronomy 6:16, "It is written, you shall not tempt Yahweh your Elohim." And the third temptation, Satan showed Yahshua all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said to him, quote, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." And Yahshua answered from Deuteronomy 6, verse 13, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship Yahweh your Elohim, and him only you shall serve." So, the temptations proposed by Satan actually allowed Yahshua to give us a message. And the message was this: live by every word Yahweh has spoken. Do not tempt Yahweh by demanding proof of his power. And worship and serve Yahweh only, none else, and in no other way. That is the message that we hear in this temptation given to Yahshua. From here, Yahshua begins his ministry in Galilee after John was put in prison, leaving Nazareth, and beginning in Capernaum, chapter 4, verse 13, which says, "Which is by the sea in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying," quote, "the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles." Okay? At that time, the house of Israel had been scattered, but there were still remnants of the tribes in those areas. Beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Verse 16, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." Okay. Now, these four verses, Matthew 4, verses 13 through 16, seem to be greatly overlooked. Now, I have to speak for myself in that. It's like, well, that's interesting. You walked through this land and they saw the light. Well, it makes sense. But when my ears heard, or when I read the name Zebulun, my ears perked up, because that's the tribe whose portion of a mosaic I painted for this coming Feast of Sukkot, and I plan to have the picture to show you, but I forgot to do that. But anyway, at any rate, these verses refer back to some awesome oft-quoted verses in Isaiah chapter 7, 8, and 9. So briefly, my search for more information was triggered by the name Zebulun, which I've been studying. Isaiah is prophesying about the coming of the Messiah in these chapters, chapter 7, 8, and 9, who will unite the house of Israel and the house of Judah. So in chapter 7, Isaiah is told to go to Remaliah, king over the house of Judah, and warn him of a conspiracy by Ephraim, the house of Israel, and Assyria, to invade Judah and set a king over the land. In response to this news given to King Remaliah, Yahweh directs King Remaliah to ask for a sign. Isaiah chapter 7, beginning at verse 12. in response to Yahweh directing the king to ask for a sign. This doesn't happen very much, and Yahshua says it's a wicked and adulterous generation that seeks a sign. Nevertheless, Isaiah 7, verse 12, but Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test Yahweh. Then he, Isaiah, said, hear now, O house of David, speaking to the king, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my Elohim also? Therefore, Yahweh himself. Okay, and in your text, it may not say L-O-R-D in all caps there. If it does, it's because the Masoretic text, the Masorites, removed the name of Yahweh and replaced it with the title Adonai. So you might have it written in your scriptures, capital L, lowercase O-R-D, but it is really the name of Yahweh there. It should read, therefore Yahweh himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Immanuel. Okay, now this is a prophetic reference to the Messiah. Immanuel means the Almighty with us. Verse 15. Curds and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land you dread will be forsaken by both her kings. So this is speaking of an event way in the future. Verse 17, Yahweh will bring the king of Assyria upon you and your people and your father's house, days that have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah. So this is after King Solomon died and the two parts of Israel divided, but he's speaking of another time. Well, let's fast forward to Isaiah chapter 8, beginning at verse 13. Isaiah 8, beginning at verse 13. Yahweh of hosts, him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. He will be as a sanctuary, in parentheses I'm saying, to you, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble. They shall fall and be broken, be snared and taken. I find it interesting that it says here that, that essentially Yahshua is going to be a rock of stumbling, a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense to both houses of Israel. So not just to, quote, the Jews, but also to those who today believe in the Messiah. Now, how can that be? If you believe in the Messiah, how can that be a rock of offense to you? Well, it is if you don't acknowledge the fact that this is the Messiah of Yahweh. This is the Messiah given to Israel. That we are to follow him as he was directed by Yahweh. But the snare, the stone of offense, stone of stumbling, is that people believe that they're worshiping or following the Messiah, but they are not. They're doing all kinds of things that are offensive to Yahweh. Worshiping on Sunday, creating their own holy days, Christmas, Easter. Rejecting, essentially, the law of Yahweh. This is the trap. This is the snare that Isaiah, speaking, Yahweh speaking through Isaiah, about both houses of Israel. House of Israel and the house of Judah. We'll just read that again. He will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offenses to both the houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble, they shall fall and be broken, be snared and taken. Bind up the testimony. What's the testimony? Well, that's the the tablets in the Ark of the Covenant. The word of Yahweh is the testimony. It's the words spoken by Yahweh. Bind up the testimony. In other words, seal it up. Seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait on Yahweh, who hides his face from the house of Jacob, the house of Israel, I mean the 12 tribes, it sounds like, and I will hope in him, in the Messiah. Here am I and the children whom Yahweh has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel from Yahweh of hosts, who dwells in Mount Zion. And when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter, shall not a people seek their Elohim? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony. He's saying, no, don't go to hand, you know, readers and other spiritualists who profess to know the future. Don't do that. But instead, verse 20, go to the law and the testimony. Go to the word of Yahweh. If they do not speak according to this word, whoever you speak to, if they're not speaking according to the word of Yahweh, it is because there is no light in them, no glory, no truth, no spirit. Verse 21, they will pass through it hard-pressed and hungry, and it shall happen when they're hungry that they will be enraged and curse their king and their Elohim and look upward. Then they will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness, gloom of anguish, and they will be driven into darkness. Now, remember how Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 13, spoke of the Gentiles who were actually refugees from the house of Israel in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, who, quote, sat in darkness and have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. This is from Isaiah chapter 9. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. Isaiah 9, verse 1 reads, nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, that is, west of Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles. Okay? The people, basically, who were routed by Assyria, the house of Israel, were scattered, and they're called now the Gentiles. Verse 2, the people who walked in darkness, why did they walk in darkness? Well, they split off from the law of Yahweh, setting up idols and being scattered by Yahweh to the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Okay, not a light in the sky, but the light in the form of the word of Yahweh to the Gentiles. That is Yahshua. That's who they're looking at. They're seeing the light given to them by Yahweh. In Matthew, it's describing that this is where he basically, where Yahshua started his ministry, in the land of Naphtali and Zebulun. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined, has illuminated. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called, his name will be proclaimed," and it says they're wonderful, but that word in Hebrew means miraculous, "Counselor, the strength of El." Now, that phrase in Hebrew is Gibor El. It's actually the root of the name Gabriel, okay, which means the strength of El. And Gabriel means El is my strength. So where we read in the text, Eternal Father, just before that, and I have here strength of El. And then Father of Eternity, which means author of eternal life, Prince of Peace. Verse 7, "Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will perform this." Right? This is yet to happen. Yahshua has come. He has ministered as the suffering servant, but he will return as the conquering king and fulfill the remainder of this prophecy. How wonderful it is to reach back into the Tanakh and read the live version, if you will, the foundation of the truth in the that we read in the Brit Chadashah, the New Testament. The book of Matthew now brings us along with Yahshua as he begins his ministry. In Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 17, we read, "From that time Yahshua began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' And Yahshua, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Shimon, called Kepha, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James," which his name is actually Jacob, "the son of Zebedee, and John, Yochanan, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him." Now, why did Yahshua seek out fishermen to be his disciples? Do you think that he just wanted to make sure there was some food around? No, let me suggest that the reason was much deeper than that. I think it has to do, I think we have to go back to the Tanakh, to the Old Testament, to find out. Specifically, we need to read in Jeremiah and Ezekiel. So if you turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 16, beginning at verse 9. Jeremiah 16, beginning at verse 9, says, "For thus says Yahweh Sabaoth," Yahweh of hosts, "Elohi Israel, behold, I will cause to cease from this place before your eyes and in your days the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. And it shall be, when you show this people all these words, and they say to you, 'Why has Yahweh pronounced all this great disaster against us?' Or, 'What is our iniquity?' Or, 'What is our sin that we have committed against Yahweh, our Elohim?' Then you shall say to them, 'Because your fathers have forsaken me, says Yahweh, they have walked after other mighty ones, and have served them and worshipped them, and have forsaken me and not kept my law.'" Verse 12, "And you have done worse than your fathers, for behold, each one follows the dictates of his own evil heart. so that no one listens to me. Therefore, I will cast you out of this land into a land that you do not know, neither you nor your fathers, and there you shall serve other deities day and night, where I will not show you favor. Verse 14, therefore, behold, the days are coming, says Yahweh, that it shall no more be said, Yahweh lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt. But Yahweh lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands where he had driven them. For I will bring them back into the land which I gave to their fathers. Okay? He's speaking of a different Exodus. Jeremiah is referencing the Exodus out of Egypt, but now he's saying, like Isaiah did, that Yahweh is going to call the people of Israel from all the nations of the world back to the land he gave to their fathers. Verse 16, behold, I will send for many, what? Fishermen, says Yahweh, and they shall fish them. Now, fishermen means people who fish, right? Okay. And I'm sure that the word there in Hebrew does mean people who fish for fish. But he's using it in a prophetic sense here. These are not people who get their rods and reels out and look for, you know, a big bass. Okay? These are people who are fishing for people. Right? Behold, I will send for many fishermen, says Yahweh, and they shall fish them, being the outcasts of Israel. And afterward, I will send for many hunters, right? And they shall hunt them from every mountain and every hill and out of the holes of the rocks. For my eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from my face, nor is their iniquity hidden from my eyes. What is Yahweh saying here? He's saying, I know where you are. I know you're my people, and I know who you are, and I know where you are. You can't hide from me. I'm going to send somebody out to get you. For my eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from my face, nor is their iniquity hidden from my eyes. But first, I will repay double for their iniquity and their sin, because they have defiled my land. They have filled my inheritance. Who's his inheritance? This is Israel. They have filled Israel with the carcasses of the detestable and abominable idols. Okay? So, and just who? I've already answered that. Who is Yahweh's inheritance? Okay, that would be Israel, who worshiped the El of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 19, O Yahweh, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come to you from the ends of the earth and say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, worthlessness, and unprofitable things. And when we read the word Gentiles here, I don't see pagans. I see people who are basically of the lost sheep of the house of Israel, those, and also of Judah, who have been scattered to the world, that Yahweh is calling back. Surely our fathers, the Gentiles shall come to you from the ends of the earth and say, surely our fathers have inherited lies. Now, could that be any closer to the truth than what we see today? We see many people worshiping, calling on the name that they have for the Messiah of Israel. But 1,700 years ago or so, a lot of changes took place, even longer than that, that basically abandoned the word of Yahweh and set up their own lies, essentially, about how to worship the Creator. Will a man make deities for himself? Well, some people have. How many people would that include? Well, the people who supposedly honor the Messiah, there are 2 billion people who claim to be ones who follow the Messiah. Will a man make deities for himself? The answer is yes, which are not mighty ones. Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know, I will cause them to know my hand and my might, and they shall know, what? That my name is Yahweh. How will he do that? Well, he's going to repay those who have abandoned him double before he reveals his Messiah. If you would turn to the book of Ezekiel in chapter 47, Ezekiel 47, beginning at verse 1. And this was the vision that Ezekiel had. 47 verse 1. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gates that faces east, and there was water running out of the right side. Okay? Now, so the next verses explain that Yahweh caused him to measure the great expanse of this river. And then comes to an amazing vision beginning in verse 7. Okay, verse 7. When I returned there along the bank of the river, were very many trees on one side and the other. Then he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. Is he talking about waters there? Is he talking about a sea? Really? Verse 9, and it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish. Well, right. That's why he has the fishermen, right? But I think that these fish are not just fish that swim in the rivers. Because these waters go there, for they will be healed. He's not talking about healing fish here. And everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim. They will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea. And I read there, nations. Exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes will be healed. Will not be healed, sorry. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Verse 12, along the bank of the river on this side and that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. Sound familiar? If you were at our feast last year, you know that we talked about the tree of life in the New Jerusalem. But let's go there and take a look in Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter in the Bible. Revelation 22, beginning at verse 1. Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life. Okay, and where have we read about the tree of life before? Book of Genesis, which was cut off from Adam and hence us, after Adam and Eve disobeyed Yahweh. Okay, but here it is, the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations, or healing of the Gentiles, healing of the Goyim. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for Yahweh Elohim gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. So as I survey the information gleaned from referencing the Old Testament, the Tanakh, out of the words of the New Testament, the Brit Chadashah, I'm amazed at how meaningful the book of Matthew must have been to the people of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even Syria, who were raised, or at least knew of, the word of Yahweh in the Torah, the prophets and the writings. If you would turn to the book of Matthew in chapter 4, you heard me use the word Syria, and that might sound a little strange. But if you turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 23, we read, "And Yahshua went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the evangel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria." Now, I don't know if you have a different translation than I have right here, but even into Syria, his fame went there. "And they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan." Matthew makes brief references to important prophecies that we, the Gentiles of Zebulun and Naphtali, not to mention the other eight tribes of the house of Israel, simply read and move on, giving no heed to the great significance adhering to these seemingly inconsequential words. How blessed we are to have been given the knowledge of the vital wisdom of the Torah, the vital wisdom of the prophets, and the vital wisdom of the writings. And so I say, now may Yahweh continue to bless us by revealing more and more of his word to us. And I suggest, figuratively, that we dust off our fishing rods, equip them with strong line, oil our reels, organize our tackle boxes and with a variety of lures, bait our hooks, and go fishing. Hallelujah.